Coming up on show 1049, the Volkswagen ID4 beats its official EPA range by 15%. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, we are talking about Spanish incentives. Hyundai Ioniq 5 charging next to a Kia EV6. I know, exciting. And why the Kona is the longest, cheapest car. If that makes any sense, oh, stay with me, I'll tell you more. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Sunday, 11th of April. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. So how are you doing today? Hopefully all right. Let's get into the news. Before we do, though, if you do have 8 or 10 minutes to read a slightly longer article, it's not really what I call our long reads selection, but it's by Reuters, talking about how plug-in hybrid cars were once the go-to technology for the climate-conscious driver. And it turns out, not so good for the environment, as we were told, according to some experts, being phased out as well by the car makers in the face of tougher emissions rules. Reuters saying that draft green financial regulations is the next stumbling block for plug-in hybrids, because it bans manufacturers from labelling plug-ins as sustainable investments. Need to be full EV to get that criteria box ticked, potentially deterring investors. Meanwhile, planned rules on emissions and pollutants like nitrogen oxides will increase the cost of making these cars. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to read more. Long old article, but very, very interesting. So headline story today, the VW ID4 has beaten its official EPA range by a fair old amount, actually. In its most recent real-world range test, Edmunds put a VW ID4 first edition through the paces, and when the smoke cleared, the car managed 287 miles of range. That's 15% more than the EPA's 250 official number. The way that Edmunds do it is they leave approximately 10 miles of range available at the end, and Clean Technica says no one in their right mind would drive an EV until it stopped running. Yes, except they do. One of my buddies, Kyle Connor, who has a brilliant YouTube channel called Out of Spec Motoring and Out of Spec Reviews and One Lap, etc. That's actually his MO. So he'll just drive around the block until the car stops. Scares the life out of me when I'm watching the YouTube videos. Delighted to say I've never been in the passenger seat for one of those because he lives in the US. However, he knows all sorts of tricks. Like even when the Porsche Taycan dies, you can fire it up again and it'll give you, I don't know, like 30 seconds of driving. He does that as part of his range tests. They're extreme, but they work really well. Edmunds, however, don't go quite that hardcore. They say that our ID4 used 18% less energy than the EPA projection. It means the ID4 was more efficient than a Model Y, for instance, which recorded 29.6 kilowatt hours per 100 miles in our test, versus the EPA being higher. That makes more sense considering the level of performance in the Model Y is higher, often comes with a trade-off with efficiency. Moving on, the Spanish plan for EV incentives. The Spanish government has approved the plan to spend up to 800 million euros, that's $950 million, and over the next 2 years to encourage EV car sales, the Energy Ministry said 2 days ago. According to a Reuters report, private buyers get subsidies of up to 7,000 euros per car, and authorities in small towns, companies buying fleets, can get vans, taxis, etc., of up to 9,000 euros discount. That is mega. That rivals France and Germany for the amount of incentive discount off electric vehicles and vans as well. So good. Just so good to see news like that coming from all around the world. I think, fair to say, Spain, Italy didn't lead the way with EVs, certainly had a love affair like we did with diesel, because we were told it was good, whenever that was 10, 15 years ago, because of the lower CO2, which was the enemy then. And we were told, hey, diesel's great, it's clean now. And so a lot of those countries had a big diesel kind of addiction to wean themselves off. But it's great, great to see EVs doing so much better in those places. A quick mention of a video that I found on Reddit. Just found this video. Can't read anything except The charging screen, which is how fast it's charging. Now, the IONIQ 5, which is not available until October, I think, towards the end of this year, is plugged into a charger, and it's charging at 219 kilowatts. Now, that's insanely fast. Anything over 100 is bonkers. 125, 150 is just crazy fast, right? But to charge a car at 219 kilowatts, I can't explain. If you're new to the podcast, I can't explain like how long we've waited for EVs like this. And even then, like when it arrives, that's just, you know, you're going to be sprinting to the facilities on your motorway. Stop quick, grab a coffee. And you know, whatever your weapon of choice is for your junk food, and get back to the car because it's going to be full. But here's the best bit: it was charging at 219 kilowatts at 51% full. That's properly bonkers. Not a 5% or a 10% low state of charge. Oh man, talk about real world reviews. I cannot wait for those two cars to come out. And speaking of which, when I say two cars, I mean the Hyundai IONIQ 5 and its sister cousin car, the Kia EV6. And in this video, which is very short, and it's used to advertise Hyundai's own charging network, which they're building in South Korea. Quick sidebar, 20 locations, 6 high-powered chargers at each, so 120 chargers, canopies over the top as well to keep the rain off you, and these are all 350 kilowatt, you know, high-powered chargers. Anyway, that is Hyundai's own network, but they've pictured the IONIQ and the Kia next to each other. So I took a screenshot. It's only a quick flash in the video, but I took a screenshot and put it on my Twitter. So if you want to have a look, then go and check it out. That's crazy fast for a battery to be 51% full. Oh, man, I'm excited for these cars now. They're going to change so much. They're going to be just brilliant to road trip in. Right, moving on. A car that is great to road trip in, loads of happy customers, is the Ford Mustang Mach-E. But if you are leaving yours plugged in, don't leave it too long, and I'll tell you why. Early models of the Mustang have a battery issue that leaves customers struggling to start the car, according to a technical service bulletin that Ford have sent out and reported by Detroit Free Press. When it happens, Mach-Es get, or the customers get notified by the Ford Pass app that their Mach-E has gone into a deep sleep mode. Well, what is this? A deep sleep mode is when the 12-volt battery becomes discharged, completely discharged, because the vehicle is plugged in during the high voltage charging, the traction battery charging. I don't understand why this is. It's clearly a software bug. But yeah, if you're a Mach-E owner and you, it doesn't affect many vehicles. You've got to be built before the 3rd of Feb. So, you know, deliveries were delayed, and this could be one of the reasons why. We didn't quite get to the reason why deliveries were so delayed for the Mach-E back in the early days. Early days, like a couple of months ago. This could have been one of the reasons. So, yeah, if you're plugging it in and you're leaving it for the weekend, just get to 100% and unplug it. Don't leave the cable plugged in when the battery's full after a couple of hours. Just unplug it and you'll be good. You'll be good to go. Otherwise, your Mustang Mach-E could put itself into a deep sleep from which it never recovers until it's kissed by a prince. Or you get recalled to Ford to have the software update. Moving on. XPeng, the Chinese EV maker, XPeng, is backed by the likes of Alibaba Group and Xiaomi. They're building a factory that's going to do 100,000 EVs in a year, every year, and it's the third facility that they are putting up. This is the South China Morning Post. The New York Stock Exchange listed car maker will build a 7.9 million square foot factory in Wuhan. Yes, there's a name that we are now more familiar with over the last year. The factory will produce 100,000 pure EVs every single year. That's amazing. Well, the big Chinese EV makers, the likes of NIO, Li Auto, no relation, WM Motor, they're the ones that have the EX5 and the big EX6 six-seater 2x2x2, all viewed as potential rivals to Tesla, who have entered the markets and stolen a bit of a march, actually. Next, Hyundai, the Kona Electric, is the longest range of any plug-in car grant eligible vehicle. That's a UK-based story I'm talking about. We get $2,500 off the car, the purchase price, if it's below $35,000. And Hyundai just reduced the purchase price of the Kona to below $35,000. That means the 64-hour battery-sized Kona is the longest range EV you can buy. It's got 300 miles WLTP of any car that is eligible for the grant. So if you want to save some money, get yourself a bit of a bargain, then have a look at that. Next, we will talk about why Tesla has increased the Model 3 and the Model Y, actually, prices again. Tesla has increased prices of both. It's their fourth price change in as many months, I believe. The price change comes with an interior update as well. You know, the little dashboard extensions, the wooden sideburns that go down the door a little bit? Yeah, they've added them to the car. I don't like those. They're horrible because when you see it in real life, I don't want to be too critical, but the colour of the wood on the door and the colour of the wood on the dash, why would they be so different? But they are, at least on the Chinese version that I saw. I was like, that's too different. It's completely different shades of wood. However, I'm sure they'll nail it. You know, it's Tesla. Try and try again. They always get there in the end. But they're bringing that style to all of the cars made out of the US now. Fair enough. It comes to the US government is seriously discussing bringing back or sort of reforming EV incentives and bringing back the federal tax credit, which would mean that once again there's maybe $7,000 or $10,000 of incentives on Teslas once again, and there aren't at the moment. The Cynical Online have said that the Model 3 Standard Range Plus, which went up by another $500, the Model 3 Long Range from 47 to 48, the Performance from 56 to 57, Model Y Long Range from 50 to 50 and a half, and the Model Y Performance staying the same, that these gradual but constant price increases are just stretching the customers to a point of which the federal tax credit arrives, people will effectively pay less for the car, but Tesla is effectively banking a lot more for each car, like I say. Particular cynics online pointing that out. I sort of understand their logic, but these incentives are by no means guaranteed to come back. And so, hey, it's a good sign for a company, right? It's strength. If you can increase your prices and still sell all of the things, the widgets that you can make, whatever it is you make as a company, and increase your prices, well, you know, life's got to be pretty good. Next, they are selling a 93-mile range Tesla Model 3. No, that is not a typo and is not a mistake. Tesla takes advantages of incentives in Canada. Do you know the story about it? It's a brilliant story. Let me explain. So in Canada, 2 years ago, they offered a $5,000 incentive off the price of an EV if the EV was priced, was it 50? It was priced 45 grand or less. That was it. Right. So one of the cars in the same model lineup had to be 45 grand or less, but the other models could be more expensive, up to 55, I think. And the Standard Range Plus model was just below $55,000 Canadian. So how to get around it? Because Tesla then became excluded because they didn't have anything on sale for under 45. So what they did was they made a version of the Model 3, which was software locked to 93 miles. Then they advertised it at $49,999. And therefore, they'd tick the box. That is capitalism at work. Friends, you set companies' rules, and they'll play by the rules. Whether you think it's, you know, morally, ethically right or wrong, them's the rules. Nobody did anything wrong. What's even weirder with this story? Some people have bought it. Why? Because you can't software unlock the battery. The point of it is, it's not a con and it's not a fiddle. You can't buy the 93-mile version Model 3 for 45, then pay a little bit extra and get the extra range, because that would clearly be, you know, taking advantage of the incentive situation. So they've sold some. People fascinate me. Now, what's interesting is a checkbox has turned up on the configurator, the design studio. So it never used to be there. You used to have to call them, I think, or go down to the store and stand on one leg and roll up your trouser leg and say the secret password, and wink three times, and they would let you buy this car. But now they've had to put a little checkbox on the website which says, do you want to buy a car that you really shouldn't to save a few thousand dollars? Well, they've had to do that by the look of it. And it's a brilliant story. Surely it's kind of a loophole that's going to get closed. I don't know. But it does mean that then the standard range plus model, which is a few thousand dollars, well, $8,000 more or whatever, does get access to the $5,000 incentive because at least one of its cars is below the threshold. Fair enough. Next, Tesla is offering electricity in Germany now, offering its own tariff with Powerwall customers, not only building a factory there, but now selling Germans their electricity, according to Tasmanian Octopus Energy. Germany is expanding into Germany. They've got global expansion plans, funnily enough. But now they are offering a Tesla tariff, according to the website. You can save a fair bit of money per year if you have a Powerwall. By the way, it would be remiss of me not to say, if you're one of my UK listeners and you've been mulling over the idea of changing your lecky or gas supplier to save some money, I am with Octopus. I've got a cheeky referral code for my friends. I pop it in the show notes. Nudge, nudge. Feel free to use it. I pop it on my Twitter. It's pinned to the top. It's in the show notes. Have a look. Only if you're moving. Do your own research. I'm very happy with them. But it means you get 50 quid when you join off your first bill. That's like a month's worth of electricity, or for us in the summer it is. And I get 50 quid as well to help me run the podcast. Super duper. Everyone's a winner. Question of the week answers now. I was talking about, on question of the week, what cars you would like to see on the road, which are EV, but which your favourite car maker hasn't yet made. Well, Jan at emobilitynorway.com, the very sponsor of this fine feature, got in touch to say, for my daily drive, I would love to have an EV version of the Volvo V60 all electric, perfect size for us. And of course, it's going to have a tow bar, roof box, but we need to dream. And in that case, I would have an all electric Ferrari F8 Spider. Oh, yes. Lovely. Rajiv Narayan says, at the risk of sounding unoriginal, my vote would be a Tesla Roadster version 2. It promises to raise the bar in terms of EV performance and range and design. Yeah, whenever it arrives, eh? But next. John Manchak says, the first thought was a Honda Civic all-electric, an iconic car. The first car I bought in 1999. But the more I thought about it, the more I think we're asking the wrong question, says John. We need cars that take advantage of EV platform flexibility. So let's not look back at our favourites cars of history, but let's look forward. Zach Mosley from the Classic Car Club of Manhattan says an all-EV McLaren. Yes, they're on their way with the Artura Hybrid, but be so good to see them make a full EV. Beyond that, it'll be good to see them make a full EV 2 plus 2 coupe. That won't happen, though. The first time I drove a 12C, says Zach, I thought, man, if any of these guys would make something to compete with an M3. They've brought the chassis engineering and suspension to a different level, but of course no pure electric car yet from our friends in Woking at McLaren. Leaf next says the VW ID3. And I was thinking, yeah, that is on the market. And then I realised, well, he lives in the US, so they won't sell him an ID3, only an ID4, which he says is bloated, and he doesn't want another crossover. The other would be a Tesla Junior, or whatever you want to call it, the Model 2, the Model T. Less than 30 grand, compact car, that's what he would like. It's no accident that we are missing good low-end battery cars here, he says, because the US is stupid tax credit. I've never thought of this before, but he says the only people that get the full $7,500 discount off next year's federal income tax bill are folks who have a large income tax bill, folks who buy more expensive, bigger cars. Like, oh, yes, of course, people do tend to buy bigger cars when they've got a bit more money. And there are plenty of large cars on the road already, he says. Right, next, Rich in Chapel Hill in North Carolina. Easy question, he says. The Toyota 4Runner. He'd love to see one of those go full electric. He bought his in 2001, drove it until a couple of years ago. Nothing would kill it. The sun did damage the interior, but the mechanical bits all worked. He loved it. It would tow a trailer. If Toyota came out with something like that in electric form, he would forgive them for being... well, Toyota these days. Mark Richards says the vehicle I want is an electric Chevy Avalanche, the most versatile truck ever made, with the added versatility of EV. Yoka or Jerka? That's a J that's a Y. Yoka? Anyway, sorry if I got your name wrong. Says the EV I want to see Tesla make is the Model D. D for DeLorean replica. A smaller car like the Cybertruck, styling with a stainless steel exoskeleton, but smaller. The East Coast EV guy says, as a father of three children, anything with either five full adult seats would be good, or a seven-seater, maybe four-wheel drive, as we're rural as well, and some fun performance and styling, like a Ford Galaxy, a VW Touran, or a Seat Alhambra, all in electric form. None of my favourite cars. I love the driving position, though, of, he says, your pet hate, talking to me, SUVs. They kind of are my pet hate, yes. I don't particularly want to have an SUV on my driveway. However, he says, anything big and family-orientated, a Model X... For MG5 prices. Yeah, I'd like one of those as well. Yes, please. Right, Kyle Kramer says, I want an electric Corvette. And so does Joe Biden. Additionally, I want them to remake the Mark Hamill classic movie, Corvette Summer. The older Mr. Hamill can now play the shop teacher who instructs the kids to convert the old vet to electric. Josh Pritt from the Space Coast EV Drivers. My wife and I rented a Subaru Outback on a trip, and we agreed it would make a great EV. Subaru should make EV versions of the WRX Impreza. It'd be a fun little sports EV. Would it ever? You got some big shoes to fill if you're going to do that. Brendan says the Cybertruck. It's coming, Brendan. Easy. Texas is coming along. Austin's on its way. The Cybertrucks are coming, although not here to the UK, because they won't sell it here, or indeed in Europe. We don't know why. We think it's because of crash testing. They don't want to redesign the front end of it because they like how it looks, and it's the point of the Cybertruck. But we sort of like, you know, if you do hit a pedestrian, not to splat them here in Europe. And so we kind of have more kind of deforming rules in terms of crash tests and pedestrian road crossing safety things. And so I gather that's the reason why they're not going to redesign the Cybertruck for Europe. Hence, Elon says it will only ever be a US car. Next, Mark Orico says, I definitely want to see a Subaru Crosstrek EV, full EV. Nick says a Camaro, an IS200 Lexus, an Esprit by Lotus. Oh, yes, hello. Scott Van Niekerk says, hands down, my answer would be the Nissan Ariya. Come on and make it. And an anonymous one, I just have it in my notes, and I'm so sorry if this is you. For the life of me, I cannot find the person that sent this. I would love to see a Volkswagen Space Vision, because there aren't enough estate cars on the roads. That could have been me writing that. Yeah, so basically a saloon car with a bit more storage. Brilliant. Bring it on. Love an estate car or a wagon, whatever you want to call it. And that is your question of the week for this week. Let's set you a brand spanking new question, thanks to emobilitynorway.com. Here you go. In order to get people to take up EVs, do more CEOs need to be a publicity machine like Elon Musk? Or do the wider public, we're talking people who don't listen to EV podcasts here, do the wider public care? Do they just want to focus on the cars? Can infamous leaders be good or bad for the wider public perception of EVs? And I say that only because I meet lots of people who aren't into EVs or tech, and they find out, you know, I drive an EV, and they go, whew, that Elon Musk, he's crazy, isn't he? And I'm like, is that a compliment or an insult? I never quite know from people who aren't into cars. So here's my question. In order to get people to take EVs seriously, do more big car-making CEOs need to be? A publicity machine like Elon Musk, or can it be bad? Let me know. Email hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, if you can leave a little review online, it'd be always amazing on Apple Podcasts. And check out the Patreon as well. It's how we fund the show. Our premier partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley and the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at RSEV.co.uk, and of course, Jan at eMobilityNorway.com. Hello to David and Lisa Allen, partners of the show. Hello, guys. Gareth Hamer as well. Bob Boothby reopening at Millbrook Cottages. I say reopening, you know what I mean, like fully open as we come out of COVID. It's nice that the five-star gold self-catering cottages down there. Darren McCleskey from De Novo Real Estate, Yuka Kukkonen from Shift2Electric.com, Rajiv Narayan and Ian Sear, and all of our exec producers. Quick mention before my voice gives up. Adrian Bond, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hope, Andrea Jefferson, Andrew Green, Andy Namcaro and Lillian Cass, Asir Khalid, Biard Fuchsdale, Blunderbuss Jones, Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Christopher Barth and Colin Hennessy at Cam's EV. Thank you for using the Octopus Link, Colin. Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, David Finch, David Moore, David Partington, David Prescott, DCEV, Don McAllister, ScreencastsOnline.com, and Ed Cortine, Eric Hansen, Eruki and Unyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, Hedley Wright, Heinrich Leisner, Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Javier Carmelo Diaz Perez, Jim Morris, John Schroeder, John, who is Beardy McBeardface at Ken TV's, John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Merson, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Warden, Marty Young, Mia Oppelstrup, Mike Winter, Nathan Gorebrand, Nathaniel Friedman, Neely Roberts from Sussex EVs, Ohan Aston, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts from Oxen EVs, Phil Miche, Philip Troutman, Raymond Rowledge, Rene Kimmick, Rene Schneider, Rodney RS Thinks channel on YouTube, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Sakey Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas J. Tias, Todd Oakes and the Plug Seeker and his brilliant EV YouTube channel. Hey, have a good one. See you next week. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.